What's going on, everyone? I'm your host, Hassan Labdouni. Welcome to the next installment of the reading of the Green Book by Mr. Gaddafi, the late Gaddafi, killed by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the rest of her cronies to go ahead and take control of Libya. Now, the Green Book delves into the issue of democracy, and with this installment of a new president called President Donald J. Trump, democracy is coming into question here in the United States of America. Will an American spring occur this year? That's a video for another time. But for the time being, what we're going to do is go ahead and read chapters 6 through 9 of the Green Book. And that will cover the popular conferences and people's committees, the law of society, who supervises the conduct of society, and chapter 9, how can society redirect its course when deviations from its laws occur. So we're going to start off with chapter 6, popular conferences and people's committees. Now, popular conferences are the only means to achieve popular democracy. Any system of government contrary to this method, the method of popular conferences, is undemocratic. All the prevailing systems of government in the world today will remain undemocratic unless they adopt this method. Popular conferences are the end of the journey of the masses in quest of democracy. Now, popular conferences and people's committees are the fruition of the people's struggle for democracy. Popular conferences and people's committees are not creations of the imagination. They are the product of thought which has absorbed all human experiments to achieve democracy. Direct democracy, if put into practice, is indisputably the ideal method of government because it is impossible to gather all people, however small the population, in one place so that they can discuss, discern, and decide policies. Nations departed from direct democracy, which became a utopian idea detached from reality. It was replaced by various theories of government, such as representative councils, party coalitions, and plebiscites, all of which isolated the masses and prevented them from managing their political affairs. These instruments of government, the individual, the class, the sect, the tribe, the parliament, and the party struggling to achieve power, have plundered the sovereignty of the masses and monopolize politics and authority for themselves. Now, the Green Book guides the masses to an unprecedented practical system of direct democracy. No two intelligent people can dispute the fact that direct democracy is the ideal, but until now, no practical method for its implementation has been devised. The third universal theory, however, now provides us with a practical approach to direct democracy. The problem with democracy in the world will finally be solved. All that is left before the masses now is the struggle to eliminate all prevailing forms of dictatorial governments, be they parliament, sect, tribe, class, one-party system, two-party system, or multi-party system, which falsely call themselves democracies. True democracy has but one method and one theory. The dissimilarity and diversity of the systems claiming to be democratic do, in fact, provide evidence that they are not so. Authority of the people has but one face, which can only be realized through popular conferences and people's committees. There can be no democracy without popular conferences and committees everywhere. First, the people are divided into basic popular conferences. Each basic popular conference chooses its secretariat. The secretariats of all popular conferences gather together and they form non-basic popular conferences. Subsequently, the masses of the basic popular conference select administrative people's committees to replace government administration. Excuse me. Now, all public institutions are run by people's committees, which will be accountable to the basic popular conferences, which dictate the policy and supervise its execution. Thus, both the administration and the supervision become the people's and the outdated definition of democracy, democracy is the supervision of the government by the people, becomes obsolete. It will be replaced by the true definition. Democracy is the supervision of the people by the people. Like the Constitution say, we the people. Now, all citizens who are members of these popular conferences belong vocationally and functionally to various sectors and have theretofore to form themselves into their own professional popular conferences, in addition to being, by virtue of citizenship, members of the basic popular conferences or people's committees. Subjects dealt with by the popular conferences and people's committees will eventually take their final shape in the General People's Congress, which brings together the secretariats of the popular conferences and people's committees. Resolutions of the General People's Congress, which meets annually or periodically, are passed on to the popular conferences and people's committees, which undertake the execution of those resolutions through the responsible committees, which are in turn accountable to the basic popular conferences. Now, the General People's Congress is not a gathering of persons or members such as those of Parliament, but rather a gathering of the popular conferences and people's committees. Thus, the problem of the instrument of government is naturally solved, and all dictatorial instruments disappear. The people become the instrument of government, and the dilemma of democracy in the world is conclusively solved. Chapter 7, The Law of Society. Law represents the other problem, parallel to that of the instrument of government, which has not been resolved. Although it was dealt with in different periods of history, the problem still persists today. For a committee or an assembly to be empowered to draft the law of society is both invalid and undemocratic. It is also invalid and undemocratic for the law of society to be abrogated or amended by an individual, a committee, or an assembly. So what then is the law of society? Who drafts it? And what is its relevance to democracy? The natural law of any society is grounded in either tradition, custom, or religion. Any other attempt to draft law outside of these two sources is invalid and illogical. Constitutions cannot be considered the law of society. A constitution is fundamentally a quote-unquote man-made positive law and lacks the natural source from which it must derive its justification. The problem of freedom in the modern age is that constitutions have become the law of societies. These constitutions are based solely on the premises of the instruments of dictatorial rule prevailing in the world today, ranging from the individual to the party. Proof of this are the differences existing in various constitutions, although human freedom is one and the same no matter where you are at on the globe. The reason for the differences is the variation in the assumptions and values implicit in diverse instruments of government. This is how freedom becomes vulnerable under contemporary forms of government. The method by which a specific modality of government seeks to dominate the people is contained in the Constitution. The people are compelled to accept it by virtue of the laws derived from that Constitution, which is itself the product of the tendencies within particular instruments of government. The laws of the dictatorial instruments of government have replaced the natural laws. For example, positive law has replaced natural law. Consequently, ethical standards have become confused. The human being is essentially, physically, and emotionally the same everywhere. Because of this fact, natural laws are applicable to all. However, constitutions as conventional laws do not perceive human beings equally. I.e., the American Constitution, which viewed black folks as three-fifths of a human being. Anyway, this view has no justification, except for the fact that it reflects the will of the instrument of government. Constitutions of government, be it an individual, an assembly, a class, or a party. That is why constitutions change when an alteration in the instruments of government takes place, indicating that a constitution is not natural law, but reflects the drive of the instrument of government to serve its own purpose. The abrogation of natural laws from human societies and their replacement by conventional laws is the fundamental danger that threatens our freedom. Any ruling system, listen up, Donald Trump, listen up now. Any ruling system must be made subservient to natural laws, not the reverse. Natural laws cannot, will not, and shall not be subservient to the ruling system. You can't fight the laws of nature. You can delay it all you want, but you cannot fight the laws of nature. One law you definitely can't fight: one day we all die. The laws will not be subservient to your ruling system. Now, the fundamental law of society must not be subject to historical drafting or composition. Its importance lies in being the decisive criterion in light of which truth and falsehood, right and wrong, and individual rights and duties can be judged. Freedom is threatened unless society adheres to a sacred law with established rules that are not subject to alteration or change by any instrument of government. It is rather the responsibility of the instrument of government to adhere to the laws of society. Unfortunately, people the world over are currently ruled by man-made laws that can be changed or abrogated depending on the struggle for power among competing forms of government. Notice how our rules just keep changing. The truth is not the truth if it keeps changing. That's one thing I've always said. The truth is the truth, and if it is the truth will not change no matter what day, what time it is. But that's neither here nor there. We'll keep going. Conducting plebiscites on constitutions is often insufficient. Plebiscites are essentially a counterfeit of democracy, since a yes or no is the only option. Moreover, under man-made law, people are compelled to vote on these plebiscites. Conducting a plebiscite on a constitution does not necessarily make the constitution the law of society. In other words, the status of a constitution will not be altered by a plebiscite. It will remain no more than the subject of a plebiscite. The law of a society is an eternal human heritage that does not belong only to the living. Therefore, drafting a constitution or conducting a plebiscite on it is a mockery. The catalogs of man-made laws emanating from man-made constitutions are fraught with physical penalties directed against human beings. While tradition contains few such measures, tradition lays down moral, non-physical penalties that conform to the intrinsic nature of humanity. Religion contains transition and absorbs it, and tradition is a manifestation of the natural life of people. Its teachings comprise basic social guidelines and answers to the fundamental questions of existence. Most physical penalties are deferred to a future judgment. This is the most appropriate law, affording due respect to the human being. Religion does not provide for prompt penalties, save in certain compelling instances necessary to the well-being of society. Religion contains tradition, and tradition is an expression of the natural life of the people. Therefore, religion is an affirmation of natural laws which are discerned therein. Laws which are not premised on religion and tradition are merely an invention by man to be used against his fellow man. Consequently, such laws are invalid because they do not emanate from the natural source of tradition and religion. Chapter 8. Who supervises the conduct of society? The question arises, who has the right to supervise society and to point out deviations that may occur from the laws of society? Democratically, no one group can claim this right on behalf of society. Therefore, society alone supervises itself. It is dictatorial for any individual or group to claim the right of the supervision of the laws of the society, which is, democratically, the responsibility of the society as a whole. This can be arrived at through the democratic instrument of government that results from the organization of the society itself into basic popular conferences, and through the government of these people through people's committees and the General People's Congress, the National Congress, where secretariats of the popular conferences and the people's committees convene. In accordance with this theory, the people become the instrument of government and, in turn, become their own supervisors. Society thus secures self-supervision over its laws. One moment here. Screen went blank. And say. Over its laws. All right, bet. That just made me mad. Well, guess what? We're just gonna keep recording and I'll just have to edit this shit down. Chapter 9. How can society redirect its course when deviations from its laws occur? If the instrument of government is dictatorial, as is the case in the world's political systems today, society's awareness of deviations from its laws is expressed only through violence to redirect its course, i.e., revolution against the instrument of government. Violence and revolution, even though they reflect the sentiments of society regarding deviation, do not constitute an exercise in which the whole of society takes part. Rather, violence and revolution are carried out by those who have the capability and courage to take the initiative and proclaim the will of society. However, this unilateral approach is dictatorial because the revolutionary initiative in itself provides the opportunity for a new instrument of government representing the people to arise. This means that the governing structure remains dictatorial. In addition, violence and effecting change by force are both undemocratic, even though they take place as a reaction against an undemocratic prior condition. The society that revolves around this concept is backward. What, then, is the solution? The solution lies in the people being themselves the instruments of government whose authority is derived from basic popular conferences and the General People's Congress, in eliminating government administration and replacing it by people's committees, and finally, in the General People's Congress, becoming a truly national convention where basic popular conferences and people's committees convene. In such a system, if deviation takes place, it is then rectified by a total democratic revision and not through the use of force. The process here is not a voluntary option for social change and treatment of social ills. It is rather an inevitable result of the nature of this democratic system, because in such a case, there is no outside group who can be held responsible for such deviation or against whom violence can be directed. So thanks for checking out the next installment of the Green Book. We will continue the Green Book series. We'll be going through from chapters 10 through chapters 12. Chapter 10 covers the press. Chapter 11 is the solution of the economic problem, socialism. Chapter 11 covers the economic basis of the third universal theory. And chapter 12 covers need of the society. So we'll be going into chapter 12 at a future time. Just stay tuned. Subscribe to the Lyrical Elitist. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/lyricalelitist. Visit our website, lyricalelitist.com, or find us on YouTube, either TLETV or the Lyrical Elitist. I'm your host, Hassan Nabdouni. Thanks for tuning in to the third installment of The Green Book by Muammar Gaddafi. We will continue this series until this book is done. Have a great day.